The Ascension of Our Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. The 11 disciples set out for Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had arranged to meet them. When they saw him, they fell down before him, though some hesitated. Jesus came up and spoke to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all the commands I gave you, and know that I am with you always, yes, to the end of time."
This passage begins with the apparition of Jesus to a small crowd of faithful followers on Mount Tabor shortly before his ascension into heaven. Jesus says, "I solemnly tell you, I'm about to go back to my Father, but the earth will not lose my presence. I shall be watchful and friendly, master and doctor. Where bodies or souls, sinners or saints, will need me or will be elected by me to transmit my words to other people. Because, and this also is true, mankind will be in need of a continuous act of love from me, because you are so hard to bend, so easy to wane, ready to forget, eager to descend instead of ascending, that if I did not detain it with supernatural means, the law, the gospel, the divine assistance administered by my church would be of no avail to keep humanity in the knowledge of the truth and in the will to reach heaven. And I'm speaking of the humanity that believes in me, always little when compared to the great mass of the inhabitants of the earth. I will come. Let those who will have me remain humble. Those who will not have me not be eager to have me just to be praised. Let no one wish what is uncommon. God knows what, when, and where to give to you. It is not necessary to have extraordinary things to enter heaven. On the contrary, they are a weapon that, when badly used, may open hell instead of heaven. And I'll tell you how. Because pride may arise. Because a state of the spirit may intervene which is contemptible in the eyes of God, as it is like a torpor in which one may relax to caress the treasure received, considering oneself already in heaven, having been granted that gift. No, in that case, instead of flame and wing, it becomes ice and boulder, and the soul falls and dies. And also, a gift badly used may give rise to an eagerness to have even more in order to be more praised. Then, in that case, the spirit of evil might replace the Lord to seduce the imprudent believers by means of impure prodigies. Always keep away from all kinds of enticements. Avoid them. Be happy with what God grants you. He knows what is useful to you and in what manner. And always consider that every gift is also a trial, in addition to being a gift, a trial of your justice and will. I have given every one of you the same things. But what improved you ruined Judas. Was it therefore a bad gift? No. But wicked was the will of that spirit. And what effect will the fact have that I have been near Caesarea on the sea, or at the high Caesarea, or at Cherith, or at Engedi, or near Pella and Juttar, and in other places in Judea, and at Bozrah, and on the great Hermon, and at Sidon, and at the borders of Galilee? and that I cured a boy, and I brought back to life one who had breathed his last shortly before, and I consoled an anguished person, and I called to my service one who had mortified himself with hard penance, and to God a just man who had begged me to do so. And I gave my message to some innocents, and my order to a faithful heart. Will all that convince the world? No, it will not. Those who believe will continue to believe with greater peace, but not with greater strength, because they already really believed. Those who did not believe with true faith will remain doubtful. And the wicked will say that my apparitions are frenzy and falsehood, and that the dead man was not dead but was sleeping. Now let us be united here for a short time while the day wears on. In the evening you will depart from the mountain, and at dawn you apostles and all those of the 72 who are here will come with me. The others will remain here, waiting for those who have run away here and there like idle wasps, to tell them in my name that one cannot find the Lord by imitating unwilling, disobedient children, and that they all have to be at Bethany 20 days before Pentecost, because later they will look for me in vain. Sit down now and rest. We now move forward to the day of Jesus' ascension. To the gathering of apostles and disciples, Jesus describes the beginnings of his church. At present, my church is like a creature that has already been conceived, but is still forming in the matrix. Jerusalem is its matrix, and inside it, the still tiny heart around which the few members of the dawning church gather gives its small waves of blood to these members. But when the hour marked by God comes, the stepmotherly matrix will expel the creature that formed in its womb, and it will go to a new land, and it will grow there, becoming a great body spread all over the earth. And the throbs of the strong heart of the church will propagate this great body to all. The throbs of the heart of the church, freed from all ties with the temple, eternal and victorious over the ruins of the perished and destroyed temple, living in the heart of the world, it will tell Hebrews and Gentiles that God alone triumphs and wants what he wants, and that no hatred of men or group of idols can stop his will. But this will happen later. And at that time you will know what to do. The Spirit of God will lead you. Be not afraid. For the time being, hold the first meeting of the believers in Jerusalem. Then more meetings will take place as their numbers grow. I truly tell you that the citizens of my kingdom will increase rapidly, like seeds sown in very good soil. My people will spread all over the earth. The Lord says to the Lord, because you have done this, and for my sake, you have not spared yourself. And I will bless you, and I will make your descendants as many as the stars of heaven and the grains of sand on the seashore. Your descendants shall gain possession of the gates of their enemies, and in your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. My name, my sign, and my law are blessings wherever they are known as sovereigns. The Holy Spirit, the Sanctifier, is about to come, and you will be filled with him. Ensure that you are pure to approach the Lord. I also was Lord like him, but I had put on a garment over my divinity to be able to stay among you, and not only to teach you and redeem you with the organs and the blood of that garment, but also to bring the Holy of Holies among men, without it being unbecoming that every man, even an impure one, could lay his eyes on him whom the seraphim are afraid of looking at. But the Holy Spirit will come without the veil of flesh, and will alight on you, and will descend in you with his seven gifts. And he will advise you. Now the advice of God is such a sublime thing that it is necessary to be prepared for it with a heroic will of perfection that may make you resemble your Father and your Jesus in relation with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, perfect charity and perfect love, in order to be able to understand the love, with a capital L, and receive him on the thrones of your hearts. Get lost in the eddy of contemplation. Strive to forget that you are men, and strive to change into seraphim. Throw yourselves into the furnace, into the flames of contemplation. The contemplation of God is like a spark that flashes from the friction of steel on flintstone and gives fire and light. The fire that consumes the opaque and always impure matter and transforms it into the bright and pure flame is purification. You will not have the kingdom of God in you if you do not have love, because the kingdom of God is the love, another capital L, and appears with the love, and through the love it is established in your hearts in the brightness of a huge light, a light that penetrates and nourishes, removes ignorance and gives wisdom, and devours man. And it creates in you the God, with a small g, the Son of God, my brother, King of the throne that God has prepared for those who give themselves to God in order to have God. God, God, God alone. So be pure and holy through fervent prayer. It is prayer that sanctifies man, because it plunges him into God's fire, which is charity. You must be holy, not in the relative meaning that this word has had so far, but in the absolute meaning that I gave to it. I proposed the holiness of the Lord as its example and limit, that is, perfect holiness. Among us, the temple is called holy. Holy the place where the altar is, the Holy of Holies, the veiled place where the ark is kept. But I truly tell you that those who possess the grace and live in holiness out of love for the Lord are more holy than the Holy of Holies, because God does not only alight on them to give his orders, but he lives in them to give his love. Do you remember my words of the Last Supper? I promised you the Holy Spirit. Well, he is about to come to baptize you, not with water, as John did with you, but with fire to prepare you to serve the Lord as he wants you to do. So he will be here within a few days. And after his coming, your capabilities will increase immeasurably, and you will be able to understand the words of your King and do the deeds that he told you to do to spread his kingdom all over the earth. Interrupting Jesus, they ask, "So will you then rebuild the kingdom of Israel after the coming of the Holy Spirit?" Jesus replies, "There will no longer be a kingdom of Israel, but my kingdom, and it will be accomplished when the Father says, 'It is not for you to know the times and the moment that the Father has reserved for himself in his power.' But you, in the meantime, will receive the virtue of the Holy Spirit, who will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and as far as the boundaries of the earth. establishing meetings where men meet in my name. And you will baptize peoples in the most holy name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, as I told you, so that they may have the grace and they may live in the Lord. And you will preach the gospel to everybody, teaching what I taught you, doing what I ordered you to do. And I shall be with you every day until the end of the world. Going back a short time, Jesus gives a message to his apostles, which is important also for their successors. My friends, consider your dignity as priests. Before, I was among men to judge and to forgive. Now I am going to the Father. I am going back to my kingdom. The faculty to judge is not taken off me. On the contrary, it is entirely in my hands because the Father has entrusted it to me. But it is a terrible judgment because it will take place at a time when it is no longer possible for man to obtain forgiveness through years of expiation on the earth. Each human being will come to me with his spirit when, through material death, he leaves his body as useless mortal remains, and I will judge him for the first time. Then mankind will come again, clothed with its flesh, reconstructed by divine order, to be separated into two parts, the lambs with the shepherd and the wild billy goats with their torturer. But how many men will there be who will be with their shepherd if, after the baptismal bath, they did not have somebody who can forgive them in my name? That is why I create priests, to save those who had been saved by my blood. My blood saves, but men continue to fall into death, to fall again into death. So it is necessary for them to be continuously washed, 70 and 70 times 7, by those who have the authority to do so, so that they may not be a prey to death. You and your successors will do that. That is why I absolve you of all your sins. Because you need to see, and sin will blind you as it deprives the spirit of the light which is God. Because you need to understand, and sin makes one dull because it deprives the spirit of the intelligence which is God. Because it is your ministry to purify, and sin sullies because it deprives the spirit of purity which is God. Great is your ministry of judging and absolving in my name. At another time, Jesus says to the apostles, remember, when judging, to ponder on the 7 conditions whereby an action may or may not be sinful and may be of different gravity. I will recall them. When one sinned and how many times? Who sinned? With whom? With what? Which is the substance of the sin? Which is the cause? And why did one sin? But be not afraid. The Holy Spirit will assist you.